Set. Welcome to Impact 103. I'm Charlene Second. I'm your host for today. So the show is Restoring Hope. And so today we're talking about something that's very close to my heart. And I don't know if you know this, but this month is ADHD Awareness Month. Now, if you don't know what ADHD stands for, it stands for Attention Deficit Hyperactive Disorder. Or some people know it as ADD, Attention Deficit Disorder. Now, 3 years ago, I was diagnosed with ADD, and I really didn't realize that I had it. And it was such a freeing experience for me to get this diagnosis. And it's been quite a journey of learning more about myself and finding coping strategies and practical strategies, in a sense, that would help me get freedom in my life. But we've got a really special lady joining us today between 10 and 11, and her name is Alette Marie Kunz, and she is an occupational therapist who works a lot with people who have adult ADHD and other mental health conditions. And so I'm so excited to chat with her, because we're going to talk about what is ADHD and how do we get help and what are some of the misconceptions around ADHD. So I'm so excited to have her here in studio. So stay tuned for just after 10 when she's going to be joining us. But I'm first going to share a bit of my story. So stay tuned for that. I can't wait to just share a bit of my story and why ADHD is such a or the topic of ADHD is so close to my heart. So stay tuned, we're going to chat. First, here's Thank You by Mark Marshall. Welcome back to Impact 103. And today we're chatting about ADHD. And so I wanted to share a bit of my own journey with ADHD, because I think it will kind of just give context to our conversation that we're going to have today. So I can kind of remember ADHD symptoms as early as primary school, and I never really understood what was wrong with me. I always felt like there must be something wrong with me. I really battled to concentrate, and I battled to remember information, and I often got confused and kind of made mistakes that were careless, and I often got labels like you don't finish anything you start. And I walked around with this kind of feeling that something's wrong with me my whole life. And it went into my marriage. When my husband and I got married, we had so many fights because we didn't understand each other. I think he thought that maybe I was just lazy, or I was just not doing what he asked me to do because I didn't care. And so it caused a lot of conflicts and a lot of fights. And so 3 years ago, I went to therapy, I went to psychologist, and so then I got diagnosed with ADHD, and it was like this amazing moment where all the clouds kind of shifted and I was able to see clearly what was going on in my mind, in my brain, and it gave me such freedom. And there's a few things that getting that diagnosis did for me, and it was firstly that it removed the label of I'm unintelligent, I'm just lazy, and I'm just a depressed person. And I realized that there was a big difference between who I am, my identity, and this neurological thing that I was battling with. And that gave me such freedom, because I realized that there was actually nothing wrong with me as a person. It was just something that I had to work through, and that there was help. And it really changed our marriage. Funny enough, just after my diagnosis, my husband also got diagnosed with ADHD. And so we suddenly had all this empathy for each other. All the fights that we had for like 8 years of marriage just went away, because we realized actually this person is just having a hard time. And then also I got help. I got medication that helped me. And I know that's not for everyone, but it really helped me to be productive and to focus and to have clarity in my mind. And apart from that, I was able to get strategies that helped me. Because I knew what I was dealing with, I was able to research, and I had a coach who's an ADHD coach who helped me and gave me tools to work better and to kind of lean into what works for me and what doesn't. And that gave me such freedom and just such an ability to live a more productive and fulfilled life. And so we've got a OT, occupational therapist, Alette Marie Kunz, joining us between 10 and 11 today. So if you're feeling like you resonate with this message, I'd love for you to stay on and listen after 10, because it's such a good topic and such an important topic, adult ADHD. Your news is going to be here just after at 10, and then we will be with you just after 10 to chat about adult ADHD. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Impact 103. The show is Restoring Hope, and today we've got a really special guest in studio with us. It is Alette Marie Kunz. Welcome, Alette Marie.
Thank you for having me, Charlene.
Oh, it's so great to have you here. So, Alette Marie is an occupational therapist. She matriculated here at Hatfield Christian School, and she graduated from the University of Pretoria. And she's really passionate about helping people who struggle with their mental health. She's worked in the medico-legal field at a private mental health clinic, and now she has her own practice in Pretoria to equip people with practical coping strategies to function in everyday life. So it's such an honor to have her here and her expertise. So thank you so much for being here. So can you tell us in a nutshell, what is an OT, an occupational therapist? What do you do?
So it's quite interesting, but in the South African setting, people usually think that OTs only work with children, so pediatric OTs with children who have developmental delays, and you have this idea in your mind of a room with swings and balls and toys.
Yeah.
But actually, OT is such a wide field, and in South Africa, there are actually many OTs working in hospitals, in physical rehabilitation. Mm. When you, for example, injure your upper limbs, especially your hands, there are specific hand therapists. So you actually don't go to a physio. You go to an OT, and you can find OTs working at old age homes, at institutions where people have hearing and visual impairments, in communities like community clinics, and even in workplaces doing ergonomics and employee wellness. And then also in mental health. So many people don't know that OTs work in the field of mental health.
Wow, and that's kind of what you do, right?
Yes, I'm really passionate about it.
Yeah, so what makes you passionate about ADHD? Why are you so passionate about it?
So OT is all about making sure that people can really participate in meaningful activities in daily life, and that can include self-care tasks, work, school activities, leisure activities, running errands. And I know that those aspects are affected in people who struggle with their mental health. Mm. And I really have a passion for just assisting people and my clients to be able to feel like life isn't perfect, but they can cope with life's challenges and they can actually experience a quality of life.
Oh, that's amazing. I think there needs to be more people that do what you do. So what is ADHD exactly? Because I think a lot of people don't actually understand what it is. So maybe you can just explain to us what it's about.
So ADHD in children is usually diagnosed by a pediatric neurologist, and in adults, usually by a psychiatrist. So ADHD stands for attention deficit and hyperactivity disorder, and this is a neurodevelopmental diagnosis, and it's actually quite complex. Mm. So it affects both children and adults, and this is usually when someone has a persistent or ongoing pattern of inattention and or hyperactivity and impulsivity. And those things then usually get in the way of living daily life or going through typical developmental milestones.
Yeah. Okay. That's really very interesting. I think for me, I was always very almost like low energy. So I didn't think that I would have ADHD, but actually it's so complex and there's so many different types of it, as I understand, right?
Yes, there are three types. So the first type is the hyperactive impulsive type, and that's usually the stereotypical type.
Yeah.
That people can see the boy in class misbehaving, or the adult who loves to be active all the time and can't sit still. And so the second type is the inattentive ADHD type.
Yeah.
That one is usually missed. or it takes quite a long time to diagnose this one. And then the third one is actually a combination of both.
Okay, very interesting. We're going to get more into that after this break. First here is Ole Fika Lala Laka by 3C Live. So today we are chatting with Alette Marie Kunz, who's an OT who specializes in mental health, and we're talking about adult ADHD. So Alette Marie, what are the signs of ADHD?
So like I explained earlier, there are three types of ADHD that's usually diagnosed: the inattentive one, then the hyperactive impulsive one, and then a combination of both.
Okay.
So with the hyperactive impulsive one, the one that we usually associate with someone who has ADHD is that in an adult, you will also, let's say in meetings, see the person have difficulty staying in their seat or blurting out answers, yeah, interrupting others, or, you know, being fidgety, have difficulty waiting their turn, talking excessively.
Yeah.
And usually in kids you see the physical restlessness, but adults usually experience an internal sense of restlessness.
Wow, that's really very interesting. All right, so how common is this? How common is adult ADHD?
So, actually research shows that children who are diagnosed with ADHD, 75% of them actually still experience those symptoms when they become teenagers and adults.
Wow. Sure. That explains a lot for me, because that's what happened to me. My ADHD was there from when I was a child, and still I battle with it daily.
It's not something you just outgrow.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. So how can we practically identify the symptoms in everyday life? What do people usually struggle with? I know you've shared a bit about in a work context, but what is there anything else that you would want to share?
Yes, so the other type, the inattentive type, this one is usually takes a long time to diagnose. So, for example, someone might be very anxious because they have ADHD, but then only the anxiety actually comes across to people.
Yes.
So then the anxiety is treated, and actually ADHD is the underlying problem. So people can struggle with really not paying attention to detail, have difficulty focusing, and even socially it affects them, because people think that they are rude, not listening to them during conversations, or forgetting important things. They're not completing tasks, or often lose important things. And I think sometimes we sort of make a joke of people who often lose things, and, you know, they say, oh, they have ADHD, but, you know, it's actually, it's quite a serious condition, and people pay the price for struggling with this.
Yeah, and I think that's why it's so important to talk about this, so that you can recognize the signs. There needs to be education around this, and then recognize the signs in others as well. If you've got a family member that's struggling, you know, then you can encourage them to maybe get help and reach out to someone, because, you know, like I shared, the freedom that comes with knowing what it is and then knowing how to treat it is just incredible. We're going to chat more about this, but first we're going to listen to Good Day by Aaron David. So we're talking about adult ADHD, and it just reminds me of, or the signs of ADHD, and it reminds me of how I was diagnosed. I went to the psychiatrist, and she said that, or she asked me, so how do you do housework at home? And then I realized the way that I did housework was by doing everything, trying to do everything at the same time, because for me to have to stand and wash dishes was so painfully boring that I went and started to vacuum, and then that got boring, and then I went to start folding clothes, and then that also got boring. And so I was constantly trying to do everything at the same time. I couldn't focus on one task and complete it. So I think it's not always, like you say, the child hyperactivity. There's actually very interesting signs in day-to-day life.
Yes, definitely. In adults, there's a term that we call ADHD tax, and there's actually a cost for living with ADHD. So many people experience not only the emotional challenges, but even financial challenges, challenges around managing your time and even your medical management, arriving for your appointments on time, making sure that you get your medication each month, making sure you attend your therapy sessions. Yeah. And yes, like you said, sometimes everything just feels so overwhelming and it's difficult to prioritize because everything feels urgent as well.
Yeah. No, definitely. So do you want to talk a bit more about ADHD in women? Is there more signs in women specifically?
Yes, I really like your example of all the household tasks because there is also a misconception that mostly boys or men struggle with ADHD.
Yeah.
But actually why they are usually diagnosed first or earlier or because they are mostly diagnosed is because they usually display the hyperactivity impulsivity subtype of ADHD. So usually when girls are younger and they struggle with the inattention type, you'd not see them disrupt the class or being fidgety, but actually they can, people will call them lazy or they don't finish their assignments, but it's not as obvious. So they actually mask their symptoms quite well because they want to stick to social norms.
Yes, that makes so much sense. Yeah, for me, I always was doodling in class. I couldn't focus on the teacher without always being drawing something on the side. I had so many pieces of paper confiscated by the teacher because of that. Yeah, wow, that's really interesting. So, are there some misconceptions around ADHD?
Yes, the one is that people with ADHD cannot focus. So there's actually a term called hyperfocus. And we often see that in people who are diagnosed with ADHD. So they can actually focus and concentrate on a task, but then it has to be interesting to them. Yes. And then they're actually quite productive, effective. Then their attention to detail is excellent.
Yeah, that sounds so familiar. I've heard that the ADHD brain seeks novelty, so you want new things. You get bored very easily with a task.
Exactly.
Yeah, so interesting. Okay, we're going to carry on this chat in a moment. We could chat forever about this topic. Stay tuned. So we are chatting about adult ADHD, and to be honest, I didn't actually know that OTs worked with ADHD. That's quite a surprise to me. So what is your role in the ADHD world and the mental health world?
So I usually explain to people, if you are diagnosed with ADHD, you'll go to the psychiatrist for medication. If that's needed in your case, you'll perhaps consult with a counseling or a clinical psychologist, because it does affect a person emotionally, your self-esteem and your self-worth. Yeah. And then the psychologist will address your emotional challenges, your thought processes. And why the OT is important in this case is for practical coping strategies.
Yeah, how important is that? Sure, so for me, the practical coping strategies that have helped me, I learned how to schedule a bit better, to make sure that I don't give myself these long chunks of time where I have to sit and focus, because I know that I'm just going to end up feeling like a failure. So rather sit for 45 minutes, break for 15. Things like that really helped me. Are there some other things that you could think of?
Yes, those are really some very good coping skills or practical tools that you can implement. So in OT, we focus on activities. So our sessions are practical. I believe that if a person experiences something, they actually remember it better and they can implement it and also make it sustainable. So I usually see clients, teenagers who are struggling with anxiety regarding exams, young adults or students struggling to pass their exams as well, and to complete their courses that they're studying, and also people actually who have their own businesses, because people with ADHD are actually very good at facing challenges, being spontaneous. Yeah. But then I have to look at them holistically. So cognitively, what's happening? So are you often forgetful? Do you need to then set alarms, really practically use a calendar or to give yourself rewards, switch off the notifications on your phone because that's very distracting.
Yes, definitely.
And also emotionally, like getting to the root of procrastination and also focusing a bit on self-compassion. I think that's important in when people have ADHD. What do you think, Charlene?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think, like I said, I felt so like I wasn't smart enough or so lazy or whatever. So you have all these labels you put on yourself. And so having to undo that and actually just, yeah, have compassion for yourself is so important.
Mm.
No, I think it's so good. We're almost at the end of our time together, sadly, but we're going to chat a little bit about how do you actually get help? How do you reach out and get some of these strategies for yourself? We're going to chat about that in a moment. Oh, we are almost at the end of our time together and we've had such a great chat. Do you have any last few words you want to share with us? Any last thoughts?
Yes, I see quite a lot of clients who struggle with sensory problems, and that's closely linked to the diagnosis of ADHD.
Mm.
So usually sensory sensitivity, for example, imagine a mom working all day, she's attending meetings, she's on phone calls, she drives back home with her radio on, the kids are playing or screaming at home, she has to cook in between, she has to organize the kids, you know, extra murals and shopping lists, and sometimes it all just gets too much.
Yeah, definitely. That auditory sensitivity for me is a big thing. The noise of the kids at the end of the day just becomes just too much, like you say.
Yeah, so that's where I really want to give people who might struggle with ADHD or such symptoms hope, because especially in occupational therapy, there are practical things that we can implement to really help people and to harness the strengths that they have.
Yeah, that's so good. That's really important. Anything else?
I also want to encourage people to take a bold step and take responsibility to actually go for help. So if you feel like you might be struggling with ADHD, or you know a family member or a friend, to consult a psychiatrist. They usually make the diagnosis for teenagers and adults. And to, if you're struggling with emotional aspects, to see a psychologist. And also an OT in your area that can help you with practical coping strategies, and lastly also to perhaps see a dietitian, because your diet also plays quite a role.
Yeah, no, that's so true. And I think we sometimes are very afraid of kind of calling something by a name, you know. In our Christian community, we've often felt like if you give something a name, then you give it more power. But I want to just reiterate what Alette Marie said, is that you need to take that bold step, because there's such freedom that comes from knowing what you're dealing with. And I've used this analogy a few times before, but if you break your leg, then you're going to go to the doctor. You're going to get a diagnosis, your leg is broken, and then you're going to get a cast and you're going to heal. And you might walk with a limp for a while, for the rest of your life, for a while after, but there'll be a road of healing. You'll know what you're dealing with. And we sometimes view brain health as a very different thing, that it's a bit taboo. We don't want to talk about it, but actually the health of your brain can also be taken care of just the same way that you would take care of the rest of your body. Does that make sense, Alette Marie?
Definitely. Like I said, it is a neurological diagnosis, so it's not a case of just telling someone to try harder or to put in more effort.
Yeah, no, definitely. So you've told us how we can get help. And how can someone contact you if they want help? Because I'm sure there's some listeners that are feeling like, wow, this is sounding quite familiar. So how can you be reached if someone needs some help?
So what they can do is to Google UTASA. That is the Occupational Therapy Association of South Africa. It's actually the governing body of our profession to find an occupational therapist working in the field of mental health in their area. Mm. Or they can contact me at, my email is admin@kunzot.co.za or 067-318-766.
Oh, thank you, Let Marie. So I just want to just say that again. So if you want to contact the OTASA, so OTASA, that's the association, or the OT Association of South Africa, to find an OT near you, or you can contact Alette Marie. Her email's admin@kunzot.co.za, or you can contact her on 067-318-766. Alette Marie, thank you so much for being here today. You're just such a knowledgeable person in this field, and it's just such a pleasure to have your expertise. Thank you for taking the time to be here today.
Thanks, Charlene.
Oh, thanks. Guys, I am going to love and leave you, but next up, Tundi is going to be here and keep you company. I hope you have a really good day. Here is God's Got Us by Maverick City Music.